Hey, this is Paul Roberts of the Security Ledger. If your company is trying to reach sophisticated information technology professionals with an interest in information security, consider becoming a Security Ledger podcast sponsor. Each month, thousands of IT professionals download our podcast to hear in-depth reporting and interviews with some of the sharpest minds in information security. To find out more about sponsoring the Security Ledger podcast, go to our webpage, securityledger.com/sponsor. Hello and welcome to the Security Ledger podcast. I'm Paul Roberts, editor-in-chief at the Security Ledger.
Alexa, hold a super glue. Here's what I found.
Mom, have you seen my space spider?
No.
In this episode, number 103, voice-based interfaces are all the rage these days, as anyone with an Amazon Echo or Google Home device in their kitchen or family room can tell you. Combining voice recognition and machine learning technology, these devices have allowed us to interact seamlessly with the internet, searching the web or even purchasing products with our voices. But voice technology isn't without its flaws. For one thing, current generation voice interfaces don't distinguish one operator from the next. Walk into your friend's apartment, eye his Echo, and say, Alexa, purchase 50 cases of Mountain Dew, and you've successfully hijacked that friend's e-commerce account for your own nefarious purposes. That raises the question of how exactly authentication should work as voice-based interfaces and systems proliferate. Today, amazingly, Amazon Echo or Google Home largely ignore that question, assuming that if you've authenticated to your account when setting up your device, that will suffice. That's a very big and potentially dangerous assumption. Our guest today, Ben Rafferty, the Global Solutions Director at the firm Semaphone, has one answer to the voice authentication question. His company recently won the Payments.com Voice Challenge, a contest to use Amazon's virtual assistant to solve problems and remove points of friction from payments and e-commerce transactions. In this conversation, which we recorded back in April, Ben and I talk about Semaphone's winning entry in that contest, which it dubbed Three Little Words, named after a Fred Astaire musical from the 1950s. It's a solution that allows organizations like banks to use voice-based systems as an out-of-band authentication mechanism for high-value transactions. And I start by asking Ben to talk about the payments contest and the Three Little Words solution that won it.
The whole thing about the payments.com Alexa Voice Challenge 2018 was this idea of frictionless commerce or frictionless transactions. And kind of we've worked with payments before in the past, and this came up, and it came up at a very opportune time. We've recently patented another new wonderful technology, which we're calling Three Little Words for our discussion today. The challenge that we'd seen in lots of fintech in banks was this ability for people to make outbound calls, and this really resonated with me personally, because I have a relationship with my bank, and they will phone me kind of on a monthly basis, and they will want to talk to me about the latest loans, how my mortgage could be doing better, you know, all those kind of things. And because I know a bit about telephony, when a call is made to a mobile phone and it shows the number, that doesn't necessarily mean it is who they say they are. To spoof a number is actually very, very easy. And they would then launch into, oh, can we talk to you about your mortgage? And I'd say, absolutely not. You know, I'm not going to share any personal information. Oh, well, we just need to push you through our checks, just to make sure you are who you say you are. Can we have your date of birth? And again, I'd say no. Or they'd say, can we ask you about your postcode? And I'd say no. And they'd say, well, can you call us back? And I'd say, probably yes. And then I wouldn't. And you know, and they miss out on an opportunity to build a relationship with me. So it kind of, the story that was there actually really struck a chord with me. And then in the dry kind of infosec cryptography world that we also have a foot in that camp as well. NIST has deprecated knowledge-based authentication, knowledge-based verification as a mechanism to authenticate individuals. I'm kind of aware in the security actually work well. The knowledge-based authentication is no longer something that can be relied upon. Most people have moved to dual-factor authentication. There's additional legislation in the UK and in Europe that's coming out recently about around PSD2, the Payment Services Directive 2, which requires secure customer authentication. So we know what dual factor authentication is, but secure customer authentication kind of takes it one step further. Not only is it dual factor authentication, it has to be dual factor using separacy of channels. So you can't use dual factor across a single internet link. You've got to get an authentication request using an SMS, and SMS has been deprecated as well as a secure channel. So look at Google using one-time passwords devices. Mm-hmm. Those kind of it felt like a really natural way for us to leverage our new kind of solution and attach Alexa to be the medium through which you could make an easy transaction. And I think voice assistants like Amazon are kind of changing e-commerce by creating this kind of frictionless multi-channel or even a single channel where you're using voice to shop across the internet. To a captured audience, but also to a captured market. It felt very, very, very interesting application of the technology.
I mean, we've all read the sort of first generation of Alexa hacks. What is the bridge, to the extent that it exists today, between mm-hmm. a voice-activated assistant like Amazon Alexa and some of these legacy services, support and phone-based sales and so on?
That's a really good question. I think I'm a bit like yourself. I love to see new tech being abused in ways that it wasn't imagined to be abused. As you say, even before Alexa, there were the Kirby dolls that were broken by a series of TV adverts that woke the Kirby dolls up. This was back 10 years before Alexa, and wiping those out. So it's got history, and it's a known problem. So the technology that we've created, without trying to jump too far ahead, we've created this ability to create three little words. So we've got a custom dictionary. I won't tell you what size because that kind of is part of the entropy calculations that we've built into it. But we've got a custom dictionary, and based on the inputs, we can create a three word string output that prevents kind of spurious or accidental or even deliberate attacks. So you have to ensure that the token is used in a timely manner. So not only is it a one-time password, it's a time-based one-time password, and you're ensuring that you're feeding the right salt or the right actor keys into the mm-hmm. into the system to ensure that you get your three-word token out and that it can be delivered and understood by an agent.
Did you pick the name because of that song from the 30s, Three Little Words?
Do you know what? We kept kicking it around, and it got stuck, I think, in the end, and with Three Little Words. It does have a nice connotation of I love you. Everyone jumps to I love you.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And you go, well, it could be other words as well, you know. So, in fact, one of our lead engineers.
Horse, aeroplane, stilts, you know.
Well, one of our lead developers who's been working with me on this is a guy called James Kirridge. He came up and said, The dictionary will allow you to say three little words as it's three little words. And we thought, oh no, we're in a haptic loop now. So yes, the three little words can be quite interesting, some of the outputs, but actually that's part of the charm of it, because if you get a really good one and you're interacting with an agent, it actually makes the experience
better. I checked out a YouTube video you had of a session that does this, you're sort of speaking to your Echo, mm-hmm. and it gives you these three words, which you are then relay to the call mm-hmm. operator to enter on their end. Is that basically how it works?
That's the bit you see. What's actually going on is when you're talking to a human agent in a contact center, whether it's a bank or a financial institute or a utility, the use cases are endless. When they come to authenticate themselves, you ask them to register their request to be authenticated to the back end, which Alexa grabs and says, okay, we've got an unauthenticated request from And you say, yeah, that's great. Let's authenticate them. When you pass the three little words to them to enter that in to submit, what you're actually doing is you're using the voice channel to handle an authentication token, which is very different to a one-time password. A one-time password is a PIN, can be disposed, hasn't been generated based on any entropy or any algorithm to a degree of entropy. It's just a PIN that can be thrown away. What we're actually doing is we're using credentials that they've registered with to ensure that only those three words can be used across the voice channel. And when they then enter them back in, you get this positive or negative feedback to say that person has authenticated themselves. And we take that one step further, is once that call has been torn down, the authentication is then dropped. So they couldn't then phone you back and say, oh, just another thing, can I get your PIN number? You know, it does prevent that authentication from being persisted beyond the call as well.
And I mean, what is needed both on the bank side, let's say the bank is is the solicitor, and the customer side to enable this technology? So what are the hurdles that each side needs to clear?
I think everybody's comfortable with APIs. So it's a standard API to, as you say, solicit. But actually, we consider it kind of initiating the request and authenticating the request. So initiating means sending the request to be authenticated, and the caller saying, yes, okay, that is who they say they are. Let's give them a key to authenticate that session. And once that session stood up, what we've actually done is we've created this idea of reciprocal authentication, so that they have a comfort that they are who they say they are, but you also have done the same to those people as well. So I understand that I now am comfortable that the bank is phoning me. They have also validated that I am who I say I am as well. No further checks need to be done. So you're actually assuring both parties, which, you know, as I say, the knowledge-based authentication mechanisms of the past simply do one side, and that is on the basis that both actors want to take part in that Q&A.
You know, you're really on the cutting edge here with this three little words authentication scheme. Obviously, you know, devices like Echo and Google Home are becoming very, very common. I mean, we know how they're being used in the kind of e-commerce space. A lot of the focus there is really on making these transactions as frictionless as possible. What movement do you see to using these devices for more high-value transactions, for example, you know, as you know, interactions with banks or lenders and that type of thing?
This idea of frictionless and creating a single point of contact through any agent, be it device-driven, I think consumers have to be quite cautious, or at least aware that they are shopping in a closed ecosystem. The only the goods that Amazon has put on to be available to be purchased are able to be purchased via the shop window. I think when you get into high volume or high value transactions, you have to look at whether the medium is appropriate. And by that I mean, if you are going to spend $100,000 on a good, are you likely to buy that via your voice assistant? And chances are, probably not. You're going to shop around. even a few percentages of savings will mean that you may be able to get a better deal elsewhere. What we've done is we allow contact centers to use that assistant to facilitate secure transactions, be it authentication or actually value of transactions themselves. You may, for example, have a life insurance premium that you want to pay, and you don't want to provide your credit card to pay that premium, which may be a few thousand dollars, but you've registered a card that you want to pay with in your one-click account within Amazon. And that way you can change the ecosystem by purchasing goods from people who are registered for the service, but not necessarily registered the goods or services in that closed ecosystem. So I look at it as a slightly different way to, I think the question was being framed, but that's how I'm perceiving it. Every retailer, every utility has a website, and if they have a website, then they have a happy path where people self-serve and they transact using e-com and m-com. But there are those issues where you need to speak to a person, and those transactions are the ones that we're seeing in the long tail of a business or an enterprise that are the ones kind of almost forgotten about in terms of security. And we're kind of focusing on ensuring that the entire remit is kind of harmonized and transacting in a secure manner.
And from the consumer standpoint, I mean, do they need to add an Alexa app to support this capability, or is it just going to be native?
This is interesting. We plugged Alexa into our Three Little Words backend services so that it could check for new requests. It could check to see if authentications had been completed, also get tokens and deliver you tokens, voice tokens to be delivered across the voice channel. We could look at providing it to other voice assistants. We can also deliver it via an app, so you could have your own app, or you can embed the APIs into your own app. So we are kind of talking to people who say, this is really good, you know, really, like, congratulations on the win, and I say thanks very much. They go, right, well, how do I actually get it to my consumers? Because I forget the numbers, but there are a multi-million number of people who are using Alexa, but that it doesn't cover the entire market. How do I get my customers to use Three Little Words? Well, we can build that into your app. If you are a bank and you offer a banking app to your customers, which everybody does, this is just another module to your app that allows you to go and get your customers to go and get their three little words and give them to agents and complete these authentications, complete the delivery of a card mechanism, a payment, or complete the delivery of personal information. So things like social security numbers, driving license numbers. Once you've got that data channel set up, supplementing a voice call, actually you have this ability to deliver other valuable to lose data items.
You know, the other big issue that I'd be interested in your thoughts on around these voice assistants is obviously distinguishing one user from another and kind of authenticating at the user level, so that, you know, if Paul is asking, somebody's asking to buy something with Paul's Amazon account, for example, that it's Paul or somebody else he's authorized. Is that something that we're likely to see?
There's some very, very talented people looking at solving that. The voice biometric verification use cases are coming into their own. I think what has historically prevented biometric verification from being ultimately completely successful is the use case for user enrollment. And I think, because enrollment can be quite a weighty challenge to ensure that you enroll the right person at the right time, and that you have got the right user data. I think when you purchase an Echo device, for example, you're more likely to enroll yourself biometrically because you've purchased that device. You want to get the best out of that device. It doesn't serve you any benefit to enroll biometrically to all of the different banks or financial services or products and goods that you buy, because that's what has been the challenge historically, is that each product or service provider has had to face that challenge on their own. So I think it's kind of a bit of a new world, really, because the emphasis is now on the user to enroll themselves, and I think biometric verification is going to be far more successful in the kind of coming 5-10 years. We learned a lot when we were creating Phone Concierge and the use cases that I think even in kind of encryption 101, they teach you don't create your own security framework. So when we were putting this together, we did look at people like Visa, 3DS, you know, the three domain secure, and Zero Auth, and this concept of trusted domains and using a federated service and kind of untrusted actors to create a secure framework. I think we've tried to do our best to follow the intent, but carve our own way in doing that.
I mean, it's really interesting. You know, we're kind of coming into the next generations of the internet and online commerce and interactions. You know, the first was kind of text-based, I guess, and graphical UIs. Obviously, we didn't do a great job with security on those. You look at a system like email, you know, clearly designed without security in mind. And we've kind of had to retrofit it. Are we going to do a better job, do you think, with the voice internet, with voice activated interfaces and devices and transactions going forward than we did with generation one?
The big difference between, I suppose, the internet and voice, be it voice service, be it telephony to a contact center, be it kind of 911 in the US, 999 in the UK, the internet can fail. You can't, you know, we know what bugs are because of because of applications, because of websites that have issues. Telephony has always had to be up. It always needs to be available. I mean, there's lots of VoIP providers in the US that won't provide you 911 because they are not what they would deem 4-9 reliant. They're not always up. They don't provide that capability to emergency services because they're not always there. So I think voice is quite well understood. And if you remember the voice conversation, even between you and I, is a protocol that we take it in turns. We know not to interrupt. But it takes 10, 20 years to get good at a proper conversation and interact properly. I think the challenge is that lots of people who've been technologists creating really good GUIs, really good UX, slick UI, then come to try and turn their hands to a voice protocol, forget that users lose persistence. And by that, I mean, when you have a display on a website, you can see 10, 20, 30 different options available to you. You can look away, you can write things down. When you come to a voice assistant, you have probably tops 3, if you're really pushing it, 4 options before a user will get bored of the agent, the AI reading you a list, you forgetting what the first thing was, forgetting what the last thing was, forgetting what the middle things were. So it's a different set of challenges that I think people have to remember. It's a different protocol. It's a different way of getting service, and you've got to really test again. I kind of always say this with voice. I think with millions and millions of people using the assistants that are available now, Alexa being a good example, they have that ability to then apply on top of the AI machine learning to improve and tune the services so that you can get away from these horrendous lists. You can kind of call it a flat menu, but you've got to remember they've got to be intuitive. These people aren't going to sit down and be trained in how to use their agent. Mm. It's a completely new field to people who are consummate professionals for maybe internet services that come in then try their hand at replicating it on an AI.
Does that mean we have a awkward adolescence in the voice interaction space ahead of us? Is that that's what I'm hearing?
That's brilliant. I mean, that, you should definitely have that attributed to you. I completely agree.
Well, listen, Ben Rafferty of SoundPhone, thank you so much for coming on and speaking to us on the Security Ledger podcast, and congratulations on your win.
Thank you very much.
Ben Rafferty is a chief solutions architect at the firm SemaPhone. He was in talking to me about three little words, a voice authentication system his company developed that won the Payments.com Voice Challenge.